Luke 19, 45 through 48. It was Monday. When Jesus entered the temple, he threw out those who were selling things there. He said to them, "It's written, 'My house will be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a hideout for crooks." Jesus was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests, the legal experts, and the foremost leaders among the people were seeking to kill him. However, they couldn't find a way to do it because all the people were enthralled with what they heard.
It was Monday. It was Monday that religion got in the way. An outsider would have thought that it had been a clearance sale in a pet shop. And the outsider, in some ways, wouldn't have been far from wrong. Only it wasn't household pets. It was pigeons that were being purchased. And it wasn't a clearance sale. It was a rip-off stall in a holy temple, bartering birds for sacrifice. And the price was something that only the rich could afford. No discounts for students or senior citizens. Then he, the holiest man in the world, went through this bizarre bazaar like a bull in a china shop. So the doves got liberated, and the pigeon sellers got angry, and the police went crazy, and the poor people clapped like mad, because he was making a sign that God was for everybody, not just for those who could afford him. He turned the tables on Monday, the day that religion got in the way.
Sing the Journey, the Green Books, number 30. We'll sing verses 1 through 3.
It was Tuesday, Luke 11, 42 through 48, 52. Woe to you, Pharisees! You give a tenth of your mint, rue, and garden herbs of all kinds, while neglecting justice and love for God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Woe to you, Pharisees! You love the most prominent seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you! You are like unmarked graves, and people walk on them without recognizing it. One of the legal experts responded, "Teacher, when you say these things, you are insulting us too." Jesus said, Woe to you, legal experts, too. You load people down with impossible burdens, and you refuse to lift a single finger to help them. Woe to you, you build memorials to the prophets whom your ancestors killed. In this way, you testify that you approve of your ancestors' deeds. They killed the prophets, and you build memorials. Woe to you, legal experts. You snatched away the key of knowledge. You didn't enter yourselves, and you stood in the way of those who were entering.
It was Tuesday. It was on Tuesday that he let them have it. If you had been there, you would have thought that he was a political candidate being mobbed by reporters. They wanted to know why, and they wanted to know how. They were respectable men, the influential men, the establishment. They had a right to know. The questions they asked ranged from silly speculations about whether you would be a bigamist in heaven if you had married twice on earth, to what is the most important of all the laws and commandments? They knew the answers already, or so they thought. Otherwise, they never would have asked the questions. And, like most of us, they were looking for an argument with no intention of changing their hearts. So he flailed them with his tongue, those who tried to look interested as they thought to undermine him. And that was on Tuesday, the day when he let them have it.
Sing the story, 37. We'll sing it twice through.
It was Wednesday, Mark 14, 3 through 9. Jesus was at Bethany visiting the house of Simon, who had a skin disease. During dinner, a woman came in with a vase made of alabaster and containing very expensive perfume of pure nard. She broke open the vase and poured the perfume on his head. Some grew angry. They said to each other, "Why waste the perfume? This perfume could have been sold for almost a year's pay, and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why do you make trouble for her? She has done a good thing for me. You always will have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do something good for them, but you won't always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body ahead of my time for burial. I tell you the truth that wherever in the whole world the good news is announced, what she's done will be told in memory of her."
It was Wednesday. It was on Wednesday that they called him a wasteful person. The place smelled like perfume department of a big store. It was as if somebody had bumped an elbow against a bottle and sent it crashing to the floor, setting off the most expensive stink bomb on earth. But it happened in a house, not in a store. And the person who broke the bottle was no elite shopper. She was a woman, a wise, full of heart woman, freely giving away what was hers to give. And he sat still while she poured the costly liquid all over his head. And those who smelled it, and those who saw it, and those who remembered that he was against extravagance, called him a wasteful person. They who had much and who had given him nothing objected to this woman who gave him everything. Jealousy was in the air when her generosity became an embarrassment to their tight-fistedness. That was on Wednesday, when they called him a wasteful person.
Instead of the hymnal, actually, you should have a small white sheet at your chairs, which is what we will be singing from instead, so it's an alternate tune.
Luke 22, 1 through 6. It was Thursday. The festival of unleavened bread, which is called Passover, was approaching. The chief priests and the legal experts were looking for a way to kill Jesus because they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, who was one of the 12. He went out and discussed with the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard how he could hand Jesus over to them. They were delighted and arranged payment for him. He agreed and began looking for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them, a time when the crowds would be absent.
It was Thursday. It was Thursday when he was betrayed. We all know about Judas and about his kiss of death. But what about the other betrayals along the way? Betrayals that pierced Jesus' heart. Colleagues who, instead of following him to the cross, argued about who among them was the greatest. Friends who, instead of surrounding and supporting him, as he sweat blood in that garden, curled up and fell asleep. And a best friend, who instead of standing by him in an hour of greatest need, denied that he ever knew him. Betrayals that pierce the heart, his heart, our hearts. It was Thursday when those betrayals finally did him in.
Number 85, and sing the story.
Mark 14:53 through 15:15. It was Friday. They led Jesus away to the high priest and all the chief priests. elders and legal experts gathered. Peter followed him from a distance, right into the high priest's courtyard. He was sitting with the guards, warming himself by the fire. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they couldn't find any. Many brought false testimony against him, but they contradicted each other. Some stood to offer false witness against him, saying, "We heard him saying, 'I will destroy this temple constructed by humans, and within 3 days I will build another, not made by humans.'" But their testimonies didn't agree even on this point. Then the high priest stood up in the middle of the gathering and examined Jesus. "Aren't you going to respond to the testimony of these people have brought against you?" But Jesus was silent and didn't answer. Again, the high priest asked, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the human one sitting on the right side of the Almighty and coming on the heavenly clouds." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "Why do we need any more witnesses? You've heard this insult against God. What do you think?" They all condemned him. "He deserves to die." Some began to spit on him. Some covered his face and hit him, saying, "Prophesy." Then the guards took him and beat him. Meanwhile, Peter was below in the courtyard. A woman, one of the high priest's servants, approached and saw Peter warming himself by the fire. She stared at him and said, "You were also with the Nazarene Jesus." But he denied it, saying, "I don't know what you're talking about. I don't understand what you're saying." And he went outside into the outer courtyard. A rooster crowed. The female servant saw him and began a second time to say those two standing around him, "This man is one of them." But he denied it again. A short time later, those standing around again said to Peter, "You must be one of them, because you are also a Galilean." But he cursed and swore, "I do not know this man you're talking about." At that very moment, a rooster crowed a second time. Peter remembered what Jesus had told him, "Before a rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And he broke down sobbing. At daybreak, the chief priests, with the elders, legal experts, and the whole Sanhedrin formed a plan. They bound Jesus, led him away, and turned him over to Pilate. Pilate questioned him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "That's what you say." The chief priests were accusing him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Aren't you going to answer? What about all these accusations?" But Jesus gave no more answers, so that Pilate marveled. During the festival, Pilate released one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. A man named Barabbas was locked up with the rebels who had committed murder during an uprising. The crowd pushed forward and asked Pilate to release someone, as he regularly did. Pilate answered them, "Do you want me to release you, the king of the Jews?" He knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of jealousy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas to them instead. Pilate replied, "Then what do you want me to do with the one you call the king of the Jews?" And they shouted back, "Crucify him!" And Pilate said to them, "Why? What has he done? What wrong has he done?" They shouted even louder, "Crucify him!" Pilate wanted to satisfy the crowd, so he released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus whipped, then handed him over to be crucified. Mark 15:25-37. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The notice of the formal charge against him was written: the King of the Jews. They crucified two outlaws with him, one on his right and one on his left. People walking by insulted him, shaking their heads and saying, "Ha! So you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, were you? Save yourself and come down from that cross." In the same way, the chief priests were making fun of him among themselves, together with the legal experts. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down from the cross. Then we'll see and believe." Even those who had been crucified with Jesus insulted him. From noon until 3 the afternoon, the whole earth was dark. At 3, Jesus cried out with a loud shout, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you left me?" After hearing him, some standing there said, "Look, he is calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, and put it on a pole. He offered it to Jesus to drink, saying, "Let's see if Elijah will come and take him down." But Jesus let out a loud cry and died.
It was Friday. It was Friday that ended it all. Of course, they didn't do it alone. They weren't brave enough. All the stones all at once, or none at all. They did it in crowds where you can feel safe and lose yourself and shout things you were never shout on your own, and do things that you would never do if you knew that there was a camera watching you. It was a crowd in the church that did it, a crowd in the city council that did it, a crowd in the street that did it, and a crowd on a hill that did it. And he said nothing. He took the insults, the bruises, the spit on his face, the lashes on his back, and the curses in his ears. He took the sight of his friends turning and running away, and he said nothing. He let them do their worst until their worst was done, as on Friday they ended it all. And they would have finished themselves had he not cried, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Sing the story 82. So there won't be a solo here, and we'll do two verses. We'll just sing the piece together.
Thank you.
Luke 23, 48 through 56. It was Saturday. All the crowds who had come together to see this event returned to their homes, beating their chests after seeing what had happened. And everyone who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance observing these things. Now there was a man named Joseph who was a member of the council. He was a good and righteous man. He hadn't agreed with the plan and actions of the council. He was from the Jewish city of Arimathea, eagerly anticipated God's kingdom. This man went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Taking it down, he wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid it in a tomb carved out of the rock in which no one had ever been buried. It was the preparation day for the Sabbath, and the Sabbath was quickly approaching. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph. They saw the tomb and how Jesus' body was laid in it. Then they went away and prepared fragrant spices and perfumed oils.
It was Saturday. It was Saturday when all that had happened began to sink in. He was not there, and he was not coming back. He was dead. How had this happened? How had he gone from immensely popular hero to criminal on death row in just a few short days? Maybe none of this is real. Maybe it is just a bad dream. But the chill of the morning is real. And the hard stone of the tomb is real, and the ache of emptiness is real. And so, some of his closest friends, women friends, do the only thing they know to do. They keep vigil at his tomb, trying to remember his face, his voice, his smile, and trying not to remember the horrors of yesterday, trying to take away from the edges of the dark abyss that wants to engulf them on the Saturday when he was not there.
Number 84, and sing the story. Lisa Rose will sing the verses, and I'll invite you to join for the refrain each time.
Thank you. Please join me in the prayer of commitment. Lord Jesus, in this sacred and solemn week, when we see again the depth of mystery of your redeeming love, help us to follow where you go, to stop where you stumble, to listen when you cry, to hurt as you suffer, to bow our heads in sorrow when you die, so that when you are raised to life again, we may share your endless joy. Amen.